time to take control of your happiness. This is Being Young at Any Age on EZ 1430. Now, here's your host, George Bentley.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to Being Young at Any Age, where we're helping you create your own personal roadmap to optimal happiness, health, wellness, and vitality, no matter what your current challenges might be. And today we have a very exciting guest with us, Ms. Lisa Harris. I will introduce her to you in a few minutes here. But I want to remind you of kind of the context of what we do on the program here. I say it in terms of we're trying to figure out how to die young at an old age. And we're running on information and technology that a lot of people may or may not be aware of. But the key message here is to expose you to information and thoughts and ideas that can be transformational in your life. And I try to categorize these things into four simple buckets. You know, I'm just a dumb old boy from Arkansas, and I really need to try to keep things as simple as possible. And the goal is to make it so you can take something from every program and apply it in your life today and see the benefits of making those changes in your life. And the four major buckets are eat right, exercise, reduce stress, and avoid injury. And as I've said before, we put a lot of information into these different buckets. And so, for example, in the eat right category, that's kind of where I put issues relative to our problems in this country, relying on pharmaceuticals to deal with our health challenges and things of that nature. So we want to keep things up. We want to keep things informational, but here's your challenge. If you hear me say something, or if you hear one of my guests say something on the show, you know, you can either agree with that or you can disagree with it. And I'm totally okay with either response. It's okay. But I do challenge you that you have to go to the next step. You have to say to yourself, ooh, I agree with what George just said, but you need to be able to tell me or anybody else why. Your own independent thought process. Why do you agree with what I'm hearing and listening to? And the opposite is absolutely true as well. And that is, if you don't agree with something, something just doesn't sit right with you, doesn't sound right with you, you don't think that way, then I challenge you again to go to the next step. And it's the point of all of this is we are the captains of our own ship. Our vessel is our body, and our life is our engine and our energy to get through life. And it is our responsibility to take care of ourselves. It's our responsibility not only to ourselves, but to our families and society. So that's the underlying concept behind the show, and I welcome you today. We've had some great shows already. Last time we were talking about, you know, the issues that we're having with our reliance on pharmaceuticals and the fact that we have all natural pain management processes available to us. There's amazing technologies coming down the pipeline. And my challenge again to you is to make yourself aware. And that's what the show is all about. We want you to come here and share with us and share the knowledge. Again, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I am not the source of the information. I'm really not. But I'm a curious George. For 15 years, I've been asking questions. I've been asking why, and I've been asking why not. So it's actually the guests that we bring on the show that I believe have much of the knowledge and information that I'm challenging you to pay attention to. So today, I'm really excited to introduce you to Lisa Tresi. Is that how you say your middle name?
Name, yes.
Okay, here, I'm sorry. The middle name, maiden name. Lisa Tresi Harris. Lisa's an author, an international speaker. She's a registered dietitian and a fitness professional, a member of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, the American Council on Exercise, American College of Sports Medicine, and she's been published in such publications as Shape Magazine, Men's Fitness, North County Times. And the main thing I want to make you aware of is Lisa has just an awesome book. And by the way, I was reading through your book, and I've got a few questions for you, you know, as we go through this. That I'd like you to share with the listeners and the viewers today. But if you're on the video link, here's Lisa's book, and it is Building Your Enduring Fitness, Age-Defying Strategies That Boost Your Vitality. Did I get that right, Lisa?
Absolutely. That's it.
Wow. I just love the way. I mean, you really fit in with my philosophy of simplifying information in a way that it's easier to digest. I was talking a couple of shows ago about I love the Japanese concept of Taizen. And the idea, it's a philosophy that if you want to learn anything new, anything, whether it's I want to exercise and lose weight, I want to change my behavior, I want to have a good relationship, or, you know, whatever it is, we tend to get overwhelmed. We tend to say, ooh, diet, eat right, do these things. It's just too complicated. I can't eat paleo. I can't be vegan. I can't. It's just overwhelming. And we shut down and we don't change our behavior. And the idea behind Kaizen is simply, whatever it is, the same time every day you spend 2 minutes on that goal. That's it, just 2 minutes.
If you want to
exercise, just if you want to exercise, get up at 7 o'clock. 2 minutes, just do it for 2 minutes. And what our mind does is we really do let go of the resistance. And again, you know, this gets crosses over multiple of these buckets, as I call them. You know, reducing stress and exercising, they go hand in hand, right?
Absolutely. Yep, that we need to take care of everything together. It's not just one piece. It's a huge puzzle.
So one of the things I got out of your book is, you know, you have the opinion that we've engineered movement out of our lives, right? Can you explain explain that to me?
Absolutely. If you think back 150, 100 years ago, our grandparents were busy in fields doing agricultural work, or our parents might have been busy in factories doing standing up and doing physical labor. Our moms were busy vacuuming and spending hours in the kitchen, and life has changed. We are extremely efficient now. We spend a lot of time sitting at our jobs. We commute. I used to commute over an hour one way to a job.
Wow.
And we have a lot of conveniences in our homes now. My daughter has a Roomba, so literally she doesn't have to get up and vacuum anymore. I know, it's really.
I talk about this, you know, and it's kind of like when I was a kid. Now I'm 66 years old. I was raised in rural Arkansas, 60s, 70s, whatever, and actually a big chunk of the 50s. And when I was growing up, you know, I got in trouble with my mom because I would not come in the house. I mean, we're outside playing. It's getting dark. Dinner's ready. I have this very vivid memory of my mom standing at the door screaming, you know, George, get in here. George, get in here. Now, I happen to be the father of five kids, and I'm, you know, forgive me for that, but that's it's too late. I've already done it. Can't take them back. But my point is, now it's the opposite. I'm screaming at my kids, get out of the house, go do something. They're sitting there on their video games and their phones and all this kind of stuff, and they're not moving their body. And one of the things that I like that kind of dovetails with what you're saying here is, you know, we evolved on the savannas or however we got here, right? But we've been evolving for well over 50,000 years, if not more. And our amygdala, that part of our brain that processes sound and sight, is where the fight or flight response comes from, right? I mean, we evolved with the idea of having a stimulus, a saber-toothed tiger, and a response, I've got to run for my life. And and I believe we've turned that completely bazackards in the United States today. We have all this stimulation, but we don't have a response to that. So weave that into your content. I know you talk about how we spend our time and, you know, during the day and the impact to our health on that.
Right. So basically our bodies are built for movement, just like you were saying. You know, millennia ago, we used to hunt for our food. We used to run so we were not somebody else's food. But nowadays, we just basically, you sit too long, you basically tell your body it's time to just turn off and die. And so this has become a huge problem with us. And so what I'm seeing with people is that most people understand it's important to move, but they get too caught up in their everyday lives and are just absolutely clueless at what they need to do to be able to make some easy changes.
When you talk about sedentary time, right?
That's one of the, yes.
Sedentary. Sorry, my southern accent. What is that?
Sedentary behavior. Think sitting time. Sedentary behavior is the times when we are reclining, so it's usually sitting, and spending a very little amounts of energy. It would be akin to watching TV, being on a phone, being on your computer. It is not sitting down on a stationary bike. That's sitting, but that's not sedentary time. It is sitting and...
Well, as long as I'm pumping the pedals, right?
Right, right. You got it.
I used to watch TV on stationary
bikes. If you're just sitting there watching TV, forget it. So it's basically sitting time. And most Americans now, if you think of a 24-hour day, most of us hope to get 8 hours of sleep. We actually only are moving for 3 hours a day, and we're literally sitting for 13 hours a day.
Oh,
so
wow.
Almost 50% of the day, we are involved with sitting or sedentary behavior.
And what does that do to, you know, the impact on major health challenges, like different illnesses?
Exactly. So as I mentioned, because we are built to move, when we sit down, we are telling the body to shut down and get ready to die. And several things happen. One is when you move, you use some, there are some chemicals in your body that start to break down and utilize fats and sugars. And if you sit a lot, those chemical reactions are not happening. So a lot of people who are very sedentary have problems with diabetes, with heart disease, obesity, mental health problems, back problems. Just a whole slew of chronic diseases. In fact, the World Health Organization estimates about 3.2 million deaths per year can be accredited to insufficient physical activity.
Wow.
Even a shorter lifespan is now being attributed to sitting too much.
Well, you know, my dad is 99 years old, and I was joking the other day. I just can't get rid of him. You know, he's turning into like one of these Volvos. You know, he's like Keith Richards. He just won't go away. And you know, he's had two hips replaced. We put a new radiator hose on him. He's got a new heart valve. I mean, it's just amazing the technology we have. But I keep telling people, you know, the key to my dad is two things. Number one is laughter. You know, we made a pact several years ago that every day we would make at least one person laugh, you know, and I think
that's great.
Keeps my dad going, right? And imagine how popular he is in his senior community there in rural Arkansas. I mean, he is a hot commodity, right? And the other thing is he moves. I mean, he's healthier now at 99, I think, than he was at 85 when we started all this. You know, he was on a walker. His hips were shot. But now he uses nothing. He doesn't use a cane or anything. And I believe it's exactly because of what you're talking about. You know, he continues to get up and move. Now, he doesn't jog or whatever. And that's one of the things we've developed is with Bentley Baths, we have therapy tubs, and we've developed medical hydrotherapy, which we can put on these tubs, and now people can have in their home this. It is a form of exercise in that it stimulates the lymphatic system and purges and detoxes and oxygenates the same as movement. But I could be a quadriplegic. If I can't move my body enough, you know, to really get those benefits, there's technology out there that can help us do it. But the key is, I think, if you're still vital and active and you haven't deteriorated to that point, you just want to keep moving. So what would you recommend to me? Well, you know, I'm busy, I'm active, I don't exercise as much as I should. What would you recommend to me to help address this issue in a way that I can just start doing it today?
Great question. Well, first of all, when people think of being active, they think of doing 30 minutes of walking or jogging or going to the gym. It doesn't have to be that. You can chunk down exercise into three 10-minute segments, for example. You could get up in the morning and go for a short walk. You could walk your dog in the afternoon. You could sit on a stationary bike and watch the news in the evening, whatever works. So that's the formal exercise. But what we're finding is even more important is the informal exercise, just the movement. I was talking this morning with a group of people, and there's a term now that's called the active couch potato. So these are people that go to the gym regularly or, you know, religiously walk around their neighborhoods, but sit for that 13 hours a day. And, wow. And they are, we're finding, you know, very unhealthy, very likely to start developing these chronic diseases.
Well, so, well,
so the key is,
let me make sure I got this, because I think you just said something that was very profound to me. And that is, if I heard you right, the fact that I go to the gym and do a sort of acute, you know, whatever, 30, 45-minute workout a couple of times a week or three times a week does not mean that I'm getting the appropriate exercise or enough exercise to keep
me
healthy?
If you are sitting the majority of your waking hours, that actually negates the positive impact of a 30 to 60-minute workout two or three times a week. It is something that we have just in the fitness industry in the last few years realized is happening. They've actually done charts and graphs of people, and they've looked at energy expenditure, and people who are busy throughout the day actually burn more calories, actually are more healthy than people that just have these individual bouts of exercise. So right. To answer your question, unfortunately, if you're sitting most of the day, yes, it's you're not as healthy as you could be, even though you are going to the gym.
Well, and this is where maybe a concept like Kaizen could come in. Going back to my dad, right? He's kind of my poster child about these things. We started out, and remember, my dad had shot hips. He had to have his hips replaced, and so he's been through some things. And we got into this situation where he couldn't work out. He had too much pain. But we did a little timer. Every 55 minutes, this little timer would go off, and he would simply stand up and walk around his chair. You know, just something super simple. But he would just get up and move. And now my dad goes to, what do they call it? I keep saying chair yoga, but it's chair aerobics. He goes to every morning. But he walks there. He walks, and I think that's what you're telling us is that think about ways that we can move. I've got a friend that, and I just thought of this. I never really thought about it. It's really kind of cool. Every time he cleans the kitchen after he prepares a meal and all that kind of stuff, he turns on rock music and he just dances and dances while he's cleaning up after a meal and cleaning the kitchen and doing chores around the house. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about where we just make
that,
it fun?
And if it's something just as easy as if you're watching TV and if there are commercials, get up and walk during the commercials. If you're watching TV and there are shows that are changing, get up and walk around in between the shows. The American Diabetes came out with some recommendations a couple of years ago, and they are recommending that for people who have diabetes to stand up and become active every 30 minutes. And that activity is 3 minutes of light activity. So that could be 3 minutes of walking in place or marching in place. It could be 3 minutes of stretching. It could be leaning against the wall and doing some squats for 3 minutes or however much time you can do. And so it's just those simple things. People that are still working, you could have walking business meetings or office meetings, have somebody take notes, walk around. You can talk while you're on the phone, as I'm walking around, walk while you're on the phone. And you could print to a different office. You could use the upstairs restroom. Just things to build in activity.
How about
and
if I held my...
The timer is great. I had a client that had Parkinson's, and we literally set her kitchen timer on her microwave every 60 minutes, so she had to get up and turn it off. And so she was far enough away, and she shuffled as she was walking. So she got a couple of minutes of exercise in during the day every hour while we were doing that with her.
Well, that's how I do my sit-ups. I hold the TV remote between my feet. That way I have to do sit-ups every 30 minutes.
That's great. I know people who do squats while they're brushing their teeth in the morning. That works too.
But isn't that just so simple? I mean, isn't that the beauty and the power of this? You don't have to go out and really change your lifestyle or do anything major. Just add a little extra movement to what you're doing anyway, right?
And I agree. So being both a dietitian and a fitness professional, I think that we professionals have just made life too complicated, as you said at the beginning, and made everything look impossible so people give up. So yes, it is simple. It's be a kid again. Go out, go run around and play, walk your dog, fidget, tap your feet. Just don't sit there. We become mesmerized. Our brains just kind of turn off while we're watching TV. We lose track of the time when we're on our phones, on Facebook, on the, you know, surfing the net, whatever it might be. Yes, it is simple. We just need to get up. We need to be mindful of what we're doing, and get up and walk around. It's very simple.
Well, we're getting a little short here, but there's something, and I don't want to get, you know, like super scientific with it or anything, but when in reading your book, you talk about a concept, NEAT, N-E-A-T.
Yes.
Can you just real quickly explain that to the listeners?
Yes, yes. So there's a concept called NEAT, and that acronym stands for Non-Exercise Activity Thermogenesis. To put that in a nutshell, this is all of the activity that is not, it's not formalized exercise. So these are things like tapping your toes, standing up and stretching. These are the things that we can easily incorporate into our lives. And the beauty of this is that formal exercise is really a small percentage of the calories that we burn per day. Just getting up and moving around can account for a much larger percentage. So this is where if we start being mindful again of not sitting, of standing up and moving around, you can start to make a very beneficial impact on not only your calorie burning, your exercise, your activity. You can also make a benefit in your health. So it's NEAT, N-E-A-T. People can, you know, they can look it up online or whatnot. But it's basically just moving around. Don't think formal exercise. Just think activity, movement.
I love it. I love it. And we can all do that. And we can.
It's easy, right?
We can do it today, right? I'm going to stand up right now. Okay.
Yes.
There we go. Practice what we preach, right?
I'm walking around with the phone at my ear right now.
We had some technical difficulty. Maybe I should have stopped walking around. That was before we got started. Well, Lisa, thank you so very, very much. I want to remind everybody again, the title of your book is Building Your Enduring Fitness, Age-Defying Strategies That Boost Your Vitality. And I love the book. I'm not completely done with it, but I got a lot out of it. And I really think that, you know, it's something we should all be looking for. If you're interested in Lisa's book, you can just contact us here at 303-388-8887, or you can email me at george@bentleybaz.com. And remember that it's Bentley Baz Walk-In Therapy Tubs that is making this program possible for us, and we want you to encourage you to check out the, you know, not only safe bathing appliances and technologies that we help make available to folks, but most significantly the therapies, these natural therapy processes that can help you manage your pain and get the benefit of good, healthy exercise, even if you may have difficulty with age-related or health challenges at this particular point in time. Next week, we're going to add a segment, the Curious George piece, to the show. And what I'd like you to do is any questions at all that you have, I want you to please email those. Again, george@bentleybaths.com. And again, I apologize. We're running so fast. Things are moving quickly. The Being Young at Any Age website and all that information will be up within a week. So we'll be able to send you directly to the web pages and the Facebook and YouTube channels and things of that nature are moving along very quickly, but they're coming down the pipeline, and I will certainly keep you aware of those things as they progress. But what I'd like to have is one, maybe two questions that we take from the listeners that we try to address in the content of every show that we do. And again, remember, this is about being young at any age. No matter what sort of challenges you might be facing in your life, there are folks just like Lisa Harris who have the technology and knowledge to help us address these issues and do better. The fact of the matter is, if we die before 120, we've died a premature death. We know we are capable of living to be 120 or older because of Jean Clement. Remember, she's like my idol. She lived to be 122 years old. She's documented to have done so, and she's a person that maintained not only her activity and her health. And this kind of fits in with what Lisa's talking about. This woman rode a bicycle till she was 92 years old. She quit smoking when she was 94 because men didn't like the smell of smoke on her. I mean, this woman was active and vital. And she
fabulous.
She lived a great life. But what that says to us is that we cannot argue the reality that we are genetically and physically capable of living our lives to the age of 120 or older. The only question is, and I say, I'm a baby boomer, you know, 66 years old. If you're on this planet right now and you're under 80 years old, the odds are you're going to live to be 90, 95, 100 or older. Me talking about my dad being like a Volvo, the technologies that we have, we can keep running for many, many years. The only question is, are you going to be healthy and vibrant when you get there? And the only real question, which is totally in your control, I believe, is how much healthcare are you going to consume between here and that point when you exit? How many injuries are you going to have? How many illnesses are you going to suffer? How much money is going to be spent keeping us alive and healthy when we can be proactive and take charge of that? So until we see you again, till your ears are on with us again, I want to encourage you to pay attention to what Lisa said. Let's get out there and move. Add a little extra activity to what you're doing in your life. Keep yourself healthy and vibrant. But most of all, laugh, 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 and be happy. Again, thanks for joining us. This is George Bentley, Being Young at Any Age, where we help you create your personal roadmap to optimal happiness, health, wellness, and vitalities. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Being Young at Any Age with George Bentley. Tune in next weekend to learn how to create a roadmap to achieve happiness, health, and wellness today on EZ 1430.